You believe in signs?
I believe in the movie signs from N. Night Shyamalan with the crop circles and that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed that film. I don't know. I do believe in like deja vu from time to time, and that gives me a little bit of pause. I wonder whether or not I've been somewhere before or just I've imagined it or what.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. Strange thing happened a couple weeks ago, and I've been waiting to talk about it because I wanted to see if, I don't know, my house was going to burn down, but
okay.
Looks like it hasn't, thank God. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Knock.
Okay.
No, you have to knock too.
I mean, I have to knock too?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so here's what happened is my husband and I were exhausted. It was a Friday night, and we went to bed. Mm-hmm. And we got in bed, and we were just about to fall asleep, and then we heard the loudest crash.
It was big.
Like, boom!
Okay.
Yeah. And it came from downstairs to the point where we both like sat up in like bed right away.
It sounded like what? Something hitting the floor, something hitting the wall, glass. What did it sound like?
Almost like it was like a giant boom where like it almost could have been like an explosion boom or something really heavy hit the ground.
Okay.
You know?
Yes.
So my husband jumps up.
Right.
And I'm like, go see. And he's like, I'm going. And he goes downstairs. And it's really quiet. And now, like, you know, the girls are sleeping, my kids.
Sure. So you hear your husband creeping around.
Yeah.
To clear the house, if you will.
So I put my head over the banister. I'm like, what is it? What is it?
Right.
You know?
I'm glad it's not an intruder because, I mean, they might just grab you by the throat then. Right.
Well,
okay.
No. And he, like, he comes up and he's really quiet. He goes, there is nothing. I go, what do you mean there's nothing?
Can't find anything.
Yeah. He goes, no. The only thing that was weird is that we forgot to blow out the candles, which we never do. We always blow out the candle. And one candle, when my daughter put it there, I said, you shouldn't put things up there. And I like forgot that I said it. And of course, she didn't move it. But it was on our mantle right under like some paintings, you know. And all I kept thinking about was, well, that's weird. Like the only thing.
So you're
that
saying
came,
that a boom warned you guys to blow out the candles before you could light your house on fire.
Yeah, it's the only thing that makes sense. And now my husband is not like me. He's not wacky. He's a very practical science kind of statistical guy.
Okay.
And he looked at me. He goes, "Just seems weird. It's weird." He's like, "I searched everywhere. There is nothing wrong with this house. There's nothing fell. There's nothing."
Well. You were both really tired.
Mm-hmm.
Did you consider the fact that somebody ran by and threw something at your house? Threw something.
No.
Maybe the neighbor's kid, that snot-nosed teenage kid, ran by and punched your house in the face.
No, I think it was a sign. I think that it was somebody looking out for us and knew that those candles should not be lit overnight and that they made that noise so they knew we would go downstairs and my husband would get rid of them and blow them out.
I mean, it could have been a sonic boom over your house or something like that.
Nope. I think it was a sign.
Yeah. I just don't know how they make the sound without the object actually falling. I'm not sure.
Because it's a ghost, Raven.
Okay.
It's a ghost that does it from the other side.
Yeah, but you saw Patrick Swayze. He had to push stuff. Like, you couldn't just make noise. Like, you had to push something.
Something. I think things like this happen. I think you get certain signs from the other side that even though it's hard to understand, it seems crazy, but it happens.
Mm.
What happened to you? What happened? What was your sign? 1-800-330-99. 99. Dana and Raven. Do you believe in signs? 1-800-330-9999. It's Dana and Raven. Big crash in my house the other day, and we jumped out of bed. My husband ran downstairs. Nothing was wrong, but all our candles, we had forgotten to blow them out.
So you're convinced that it was your grandma, your nunu, or somebody like that that was down there just knocking over a broom or something, letting you know, don't let the house burn down, girl.
It's nunna or nunno.
Okay, excuse me.
Yes. I do. I believe in signs. And we were wondering, do you? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I don't know, and I don't know if it's the other side sending signs to me, but for some reason, I'm always finding pennies with my birth year, and it's really weird. Like, every time I pick one up, it says 1977.
Every time?
Every single time. Is that weird or what?
Oh, that's weird.
It does seem weird. I also feel like you are the only person who's looking at the date on a penny, because a penny is a failed coin. Get it out of here. Now more than ever.
I feel like you could probably sell that penny for 30 cents at this point because there's such a coin shortage.
It's so strange to me.
What's strange is that every single time it's 1977. That's weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Who would be sending
it to you? I'm sure
it
can't be every single time. But I mean, just the fact that it's often enough that you say it's every single time, that is pretty weird.
It's pretty freaky, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now I'm kind of like, you know how you're looking for it now? So
right.
When I do pick it up, I'm like, oh, what's the date? Because
yeah.
I just notice it so often.
Was 77 a good year for pennies? Like, I don't know. With wines? Was that a year that they pumped out a lot of pennies? 77. Back in 77, you know, we set a record for the quota.
What?
Working in the coin factory. I don't know. That's the guy working the coin press, I guess. I don't know.
But who would be sending? Who would be sending that sign?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know if I believe it or not, but it just seems a little weird to me.
Who's on the penny? Abraham Lincoln. Who's on the penny?
Yeah.
Maybe it's him.
You think Abraham Lincoln is sending
you a sign?
No, that makes sense. Well, if you figure it out, let us know.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I will. Definitely.
And wash your hands. Pennies are dirty.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you believe in signs?
Yeah, actually, I do. I've been playing the lottery a lot recently, and I've been getting a lot of signs from my brother. He passed away a few years ago, and while he was alive, he used to play the lottery a lot, and I used to give him a really hard time about it. I used to think that was a waste of money. There's no chance. But for the last couple of years, I have been receiving these kind of just like numbers. They pop into my head. Finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to play these numbers that I'm getting in the lottery. And over the last couple of years, I've won close to $7,000.
What?
I know.
By the numbers
exactly.
That just magically pop up in your head?
Well, they just kind of magically pop into my head. And I finally started paying attention to them, being like, why am I getting these numbers? And I finally said, you know what? Let's go ahead and play the lottery. And yeah, I've gotten close to $7,000, and I think it's my brother kind of getting back at me for all those years of giving him a hard time. But
if that's his way of getting back at you, he can get back at me, too.
Right. I think that it's outstanding, obviously, that you're getting these numbers from the other side. When you first started talking, I thought you were a quack. No disrespect to your very fortunate brother who's on the other side at this point.
The same thing when it first started.
Right. But if it's working for you, that's great.
Exactly.
Next time you get those numbers, just send us a message on our Facebook
group
page.
Group text.
Yeah.
Group text.
Just let us know. We thought we would go right to the source. Anna Raimondi is a world-renowned medium and friend of ours, and we're going to have her join us next, and we're going to ask her, should you believe in signs, and how do you recognize them around you? It's next with Anna and Raven. We've been talking about signs, and do you believe in signs from the other side? And we figured we had to ask the only person that would be able to answer. It's Anna and Raven. Anna Raimondi is a world-renowned medium. You could always see her on Dr. Oz or visit her online at annaraimondi.com. When you do the readings over the phone, like, do the spirits still come to you even though you're over the phone? Like, I was wondering how that works.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't matter. Like, people think you need to sit with the medium. Sometimes it's actually better not to, because, you know, they complain about mediums like reading body language and all of that stuff. Well, if I'm on the phone, I'm not seeing you. I'm just repeating what I'm feeling. Energy is energy. It doesn't matter where you are. You can be in Timbuktu and I can read you.
Is anybody next to us right now? Should we know?
Well, you know that your grandmother's always next to you. You know that, right?
Yeah, she's always with me. She hangs out with me.
Good news. I saw my cardiologist. They said I get to live at least another year.
Oh, good for you.
One down. Well, you know, it's questionable. We'll see what happens at the end of the year. A couple things I want to talk to you about today, Anna. About 2 weeks ago, it was nighttime, and my husband and I were in bed, and we were exhausted. And all of a sudden, we heard this massive boom downstairs. We both jumped up. He went downstairs to go see what it was, and there was absolutely nothing wrong as loud as that was, but we had accidentally left the candles on. Do you believe in signs? Do you think things like that happen for a reason?
Yeah, somebody telling you to blow those candles out. That was a warning. I mean, your house could have burned down. Absolutely.
What are some, like, common signs you think that people would see, right? Because sometimes, you know, we go, show us a sign, and then some noise or random thing might happen or whatever, but we don't actually interpret that as a sign. We just keep on going about our business.
Yeah, because everybody questions themselves about what's real and what's not real. If it feels like a sign, it is a sign. Common signs are lights flashing, because we're made of energy, and when we pass, energy still carries on, and we can work with anything that operates on energy. So lights flashing, radios turning on, TVs turning on and off or acting weird, very, very, very common. I can't tell you how many people tell me that their radio station changes. Animals, they love to send colorful birds, because we pay attention to colorful birds. And birds, like, not one at a time. Usually it's like more than one. Crows. And everybody's like, oh my God, that's like a bad sign. It's not a bad sign. If you see like 40 crows on your lawn and it hits you that it may be father, mother, whomever, it probably is.
cloud formations. You know, you see things in clouds. They also superimpose themselves on people. So you're walking down the street and there's a woman in front of you, and from the back, you know, she looks like your aunt who's passed. And then she turns around and it's not. But you swear from the back it's your aunt based upon how she's carrying herself or how she looks, because they can superimpose themselves on people. And people just like shake their head and like, I'm imagining it. No, that's not imagination, because somebody who's walking next to you will not see what you're seeing. They come through in whatever way they think that you can recognize them. Dreams are huge. They talk through other people. So you'll be talking to somebody and it's like, wow. My dad would say something like that, especially grandparents. They'll use that piece of their uniqueness to come through somebody else.
That's a lot of stuff. And when you were talking about people being superimposed, I don't know why, but all the hairs on my arms and my neck just started standing up. And I don't know
Maybe
why.
Somebody hairy was superimposing themselves upon you right at that moment.
A gorilla.
Right. Don't worry, it's your gorilla. Uncle Jimmy. I've been past 30 years, but I'm just going to walk with you here for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really interesting, you know, because you'll look at that person and it's more than just like the color of their hair. It's their walk or just how they carry themselves, because you're picking up on the energy.
Sometimes I think I hear a laugh and I'm like, oh, my gosh, that laugh sounds like so and so. And I wonder in the back of my mind, like, is that that? Another thing that we've been dying to ask you about is past lives. And that's going to be coming up next with Anna and Raven. Past lives, Anna. This goes hand in hand with my next question about deaths and threes. But do we all have past lives? Is that a real thing? It's Anna and Raven. Anna Raimondi is a world-renowned medium. You can see her always on Dr. Oz. And you can visit her online at AnnaRaimondi.com.
Yep. Absolutely. We all have past lives. I have yet to meet a brand new soul. And it's interesting because as a hypnotherapist, when I regress people, you know, into their past lives, what usually happens is, you know, they get it. They feel it. They're like, oh, that's why I had that feeling of deja vu. So, yeah, some souls are older and some souls are younger, but everybody has a past life. And I have yet to meet a soul, unfortunately, for some people, that is not coming back here again, because we're not perfect.
Anna, do you always tell people that their past lives were good things, though? Because I feel like if you told somebody their past life really stunk, that they'd probably be like, you know what? Maybe I didn't have a past life. That seems fake to me. But if you tell somebody they were a prince or a warrior or a revolutionary or a princess, they feel good about that.
No, I don't, you know, I don't blow smoke up people's butts. And if we all had perfect past lives, we wouldn't be here. Just a past life. You know, the soul lives and goes on and reincarnates because it wants to be perfect in that place of pure love with divinity. And so, no, you know, we could have been murderers in a past life, but we're coming back here to kind of learn about what we did, why we did, and, you know, and get it right. That's kind of what it's all about.
I don't remember, but somebody along the line told me that in my past life, I was basically like a boring farm girl. Mm. And I was so disappointed. I was like, really? That's it? That's what
right.
I did? Like,
yeah, you know, unfortunately, like when I regress people, some of the regressions are so boring. Some of them aren't, but some of them are. But no judgment. You know, that boring farm girl plays a part in the life you're living now. I don't like to tell people what their past lives was. Sometimes I do because it's so apparent, but I would rather them see it for themselves, because there's something about seeing it and knowing it that it's more healing.
How do you see it? You have to through the hypnotherapy?
Well, yeah. If you're hypnotized by a hypnotherapist, I don't do like act like a bunny. It's hypnotherapy. What a hypnotherapist does when they're doing past life regressions is bring you back through soul memory. Your memories are held in your super subconscious mind, and you go back to that place where you can see, you know, who and what you were. It's very cool.
I'm fascinated by it.
You should do it.
All right, one last question, and then we'll let you go. Deaths coming in threes. Where did that come from? Is it real? Because right now I'm at 5 deaths, and I'm, like, nervous about what's going to be the 6th one if this is real.
You know, I got to tell you, there's a lot to do with numbers, like the number 11. People all over the world see the number 11. It's the highest spiritual blessing. I don't know why the deaths come in threes, but I'll tell you this, it's real.
Oh, gosh.
No spiritual significance that at least I know, because it's not really important, but it's true.
Wow. All right.
Who's going to be number 6, Anna Zapp?
Oh, gosh.
Who's going to be number 6?
I mean, that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing to think about now. It's like, all right, there's going to be another one looming. Who is it going to be, you know?
I told you I'm good for a year.
Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999, Tana and Raven. If you refill the Purell bottle with a hand sanitizer and Poster, that's all I need to know about you.
Is this a store or is this like an individual? What
stores
happened?
Have been doing this. It's so petty, but it's been driving me nuts lately where a lot of the stores that you go into, they have the hand sanitizer there.
The dispenser.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're all excited because it says like Purell, and then you go and you smell it. And you know right away, like,
it's not Purell.
That's not Purell.
Okay.
And you know they've recalled like 150 hand sanitizers.
They have.
And I'm like, who knows what's in here? And all I know is this smells awful. And right. I don't even know what I just put in my hand.
You know, I got to be honest with you. They have the gallon jugs all over the place at the different discount stores.
Yep.
And I won't buy them because it's not something that I recognize.
Yeah.
And that's probably foolish. I mean, if it has the ingredients, it should be fine, I guess. But it seems like that list gets longer and longer every single day of ones that don't actually do the job.
Right, but don't put it in a Purell bottle and make me think I'm getting the real deal, and all of a sudden I smell it. I'm like, oh no.
Are you one of those persons you take a full splash if you think it's the Purell? You're like, oh, Purell, I've been looking for you. You take a little advantage.
Yeah, I'm like, this is the good stuff.
Right.
Get that.
And
yeah.
Then you're upset. So right. I get it.
I won't even let my daughters touch it anymore. I'm like, no, mommy will get it in her purse. Don't touch that stuff. It's fake.
If you're a contractor and you take a customer's money and then you just won't call them back.
Raven, stop. Like, just cancel your contract.
Today's the day. I'm canceling the contract. If these guys aren't there by 9 a.m. working on my chimneys, then today's the day that I want my money back.
Raven's been complaining about these people not showing up to do his chimney for weeks. I said, they're going to come up. They're going to come. They're going to do a terrible job, and you're going to be more upset. Just get rid of the contract.
You were the voice of reason yesterday. I've been ignoring my wife's voice on this for like 4 weeks, but yesterday, yours was the one that triggered me to move forward.
What are you going
to
do when they do a terrible job?
Oh, they're not showing up because they're not going to be there at 9 a.m.
I
guarantee they're not going to be there today. So I'm getting this money back.
Yeah. They're going to do a bad job and you're going to be so mad.
Already moved on. Called the other guys. They're ready to go.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. All I need to know about you.
If you go to a restaurant and make more than 5 modifications for one order, that's all I need to know about you.
Ooh, that's a rough one.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm with you. I'm a stock guy when it comes to the restaurant. I might ask you to hold one thing or put one thing on the side, but my wife... It's uncanny. It's every time, no matter what we're ordering. And it took her about 10 years before she realized that that's who she is. Because I kept telling her, I was like, that's not normal. You know that, right?
I owned a restaurant for 24 years. And let me tell you, I don't mind adjusting everything. Yeah. But when you're busy and stop and they take 20 minutes to order one thing,
it's terrible.
It's
worse when you're when you're standing next to that person. It is the worst place to be on the planet.
And what's even worse is if you are that person, you're the person that's going to complain too when they mess it up.
Well, they're going to mess it up,
right?
Yeah, there's no way to get it right. By the time they order the dish and make all the modifications, you don't recognize it as the dish it originally was.
Right.
Right.
Can I have a grilled chicken sandwich? Oh, yeah. No grilled chicken.
Oh, this is my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is 100% my life.
No, you know what? So I'm a restaurant kid, and my favorite thing is the substitution people. Like, if it comes with a side of pasta, when all of a sudden they want to change it, they're like, can we have broccoli rabe on the side?
Right.
No, you cannot have broccoli rabe.
Broccoli rabe is its own listing.
Right.
Right. That's right. It's its own listing here, clearly. Right.
You want to call in too? 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Vacation shame is a real thing. Actually, the official term being used is travel shame. It's Anna and Raven. Two-thirds, that's 66% of people of the nearly 4,000 Americans that were asked, said that they would judge other people for traveling before it's considered quote-unquote safe.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. And safe is a moving line for every single person out there, whether it be the CDC, the WHO, the White House. Nobody can agree on this stuff, let alone you and your neighbors.
What I've noticed is that on social media, if you post that you're going somewhere and you're getting on a plane, immediately in the comments, it's like, are you going to quarantine for the 2 weeks when you get back?
Are you going to do this? Are you going to do that? Before, we used to like to brag about the places we were going,
not
show
anymore.
All these wonderful photos on Insta and Facebook of us living the life of luxury. I'm planning on going to the beach next week at some point, Anna. I'm going to sneak in there. I'm not going to post a single photo. I can't tell anybody where I'm going.
It's true. And I've noticed this a lot on social media is that
I just hope they let me in.
If they do post photos, they don't put where they are. You know, like where usually it says like having a great time in Myrtle Beach or we love it here and wherever they are. All of a sudden now you have to look and try to determine where it is because they won't tell you. But most people are not going on social media at all. And they're keeping their travel plans under wrap because of this vacation shame, because people look down on them for traveling when they think it's unsafe.
I mean, God forbid you take a photo with somebody and they're within 6 feet of you and they don't actually live in your household right now.
Right.
You just get lambasted.
Are they wearing their mask?
Right.
Yeah, it's the same thing all the time. And I found this with myself, too. We're going away, my husband and I, for two nights next weekend.
What are you doing?
Why are you
saying that out loud?
And every time it comes up, I always say the same thing. I go, no. We're going to Pennsylvania.
Right.
It's not one of the mandated states. No.
It doesn't matter.
They have less than 1%. No. We're not bringing the girls with us. We're keeping them home with my mom.
Keep your windows rolled up as you drive through the other states, man.
It's all of a sudden is you have to become so defensive because everyone is questioning like whether you're putting them in jeopardy for you going to enjoy yourself for a couple nights.
My wife thinks that we could still go to the beach at a regular time. I'm like, do you understand that we have to go dressed in all dusk clothes, like dawn clothes, so nobody will see us, and crawl across the sand at 6 a.m. if, number one, you want to get in there, and number two, you don't want anybody to see you going.
Right. Oh, you're having fun there at the beach?
Oh. You're a terrible person.
Must be nice. Is that safe? Are you staying 6 feet away from other people?
So the suggestion would be is, I mean, if you got to get away, which everybody kind of needs to get away because you need a little mental health space, enjoy yourself. Just don't tell anybody.
No one. I saw a girl and she was wearing the exact same outfit as me and it was the most awkward thing ever.
I mean, when you show up to prom, you got to realize that you should have went with something a little bit more unique. Given the fact that you're nearing 40, it shouldn't be a big deal.
It's Anna and Raven. I was at Stu Leonard's and we pull in, right? And I see her getting the carriage and I was like, oh. And I look
over.
So
you know from moment one.
Moment one
walking in that there's somebody in there dressed just like me.
Yeah. And it's the exact same outfit. It is the same Lululemon, like green, like dark green pants.
Okay.
The same cut top. And it's very kind of like it's distinct, you know?
Right.
So I look at her, I go, okay. And I don't make eye contact with her because, you know, she's a stranger. And we start like going through and I get ahead of her.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, now I've kind of left her in my tracks.
Right. But, so now everybody will think you're the person who woke up this morning with that and she's the cheater. She's the copier.
Well, it's just one of those things where obviously we both shop at the same place and we both just came from, you know, working out or, you know, in my case, just that's what I put on this morning.
Right. So, right. That's the outfit. It's holding everything in the right spots and I'm going to the store.
Yep. So now, how it works when you go through this grocery store is that everything is like guided. Like there's no like running into somebody.
It's one way.
So over my shoulder, I constantly see her and she's kind of sneaking up. Now, I don't know if in my head I have made this a competition where I'm trying to get away from her and she's just trying to catch up with me.
You're like blocking like NASCAR.
Because I'll be honest, she looks a lot better in this outfit. Like she's been doing her squats at home.
She's in a little bit better shape in different spots.
Shape,
okay,
she's taller. Like she like she's what I want to look like in that outfit.
In that outfit, right? But she's what you project to look like in that outfit.
So I keep going ahead, and now I go, I should just say something. Like this is just awkward. I should just say to her, you know, like, hey, I like your outfit.
Fancy meeting you here. Right. Something
really natural like
something
that.
Something cheesy.
I guess we both shop at the same place. Huh? Did you have a coupon? You know, like nonsense. But I'm like, you know what? Like don't for once in your life, Anna, don't be weird. Like
just go about your business. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I walk right into the where you go to pay the cashier.
Right, of course.
She's right behind me.
Oh, she's doing it on purpose.
Well, now that's what I'm thinking. I go, she knows that she looks better in this gym workout outfit than I look. And now, like, should I say something? So I go, you know what? I'm just going to make a joke.
You're going to make a joke. You're going to imply that it's a thing that happens and that it's not that awkward. So you made a joke. What was your joke? Do you remember it?
Here's the problem. No, I looked at her. I go, nice outfit, right?
Yeah.
But now we have the masks on. So we don't understand each other and it's loud.
Right.
So she's like, what?
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 Right.
And she starts like taking stuff off the conveyor belt. I go, no, nice outfit.
Right.
You know, through the mask.
Right.
And she, I don't know if she understood me.
Right. So your eyes look angry when you say that, just so you know. Say it one more time.
Nice.
Oh,
outfit.
My gosh. It's terrifying, really.
Now imagine me with a mask on my face.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going just above your nose.
Right. She kind of just like looked down and looked up and then kind of just nodded. Like, that's like what I do when I don't understand people and
right.
I don't know
You're
what
they're
doing.
Right. You're just like, all right, great. Yeah. Yep. And then you just walk away weird. So not only were you the weirdo that was dressed the same as her, but then you screamed at her.
Like a complete wacko. So I Googled online, like, what are you supposed to do when somebody has the same outfit on as you?
Right.
And you know what?
What?
I was right. You're supposed to acknowledge it. It says that it gets rid of all that moment of social anxiety and it, like, lightens the situation. And
oh,
you're
clearly,
supposed to say.
That's what it did when you screamed at her about the stuff on the conveyor belt.
It also says you should introduce yourself. That seemed weird. Hey!
Hi.
I'm Anna. Nice pants.
Right.
Yeah, what's weird?
We've got the same shirt.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're meant to be friends.
Yeah, I don't know. So awkward, right? Just about every culture in the world has one thing in common, Raven.
Mm.
Children don't call their parents by their first names. Instead, they use words like, you know, mom and dad.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, it's Anna and Raven. And it's actually very interesting because it's really one of the only things that across the world we all have in common. What do you call your mom?
I call my mom, Mom, of course.
Right.
Right.
So
mom or mama?
Right. I call my mom mom, but like I'll call her mommy and daddy. Like I still say mommy
sure,
and daddy as a grown woman, which I think is crazy. But even
I mean, most people will do that.
Yeah.
Throughout their entire lifetime.
Well, that's why I always find it interesting when somebody doesn't call their parents mom or dad.
Oh, I find that weird.
It's a little bit odd, right?
Immediately, I assume that it's a marriage or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe a step parent or an in-law or anything like that. That's typically the way I look at it. And, you know, as life goes on, as you get a little bit older, you've got a few moms, maybe you've got a few dads or whatever it may be. You know, your relationships change too.
But if it's like your blood mom and dad, like these are your like the people that birthed you, right?
Right.
Would you call them by their first name? Would you call them something different?
I called my stepfather by his first name for a large portion of my life because just, I don't know, for whatever reason as a child, I felt like that was something I owed my father or whatever. And it's so ridiculous because, you know, you look at your lifetime and you say, well, who has been a dad to me? Who's raised me or whatever? So now I call him dad. But, you know, for a while, I always used to call him by his first name.
Yeah. I was thinking about this because one of my girlfriends, her mother-in-law is Hungarian.
Right.
And her kids and her, they all call her Agatha.
Oh.
And I asked her, I was like, why? And it's her first name. It's not like another name
just
for grandma.
Another name they made up. We're going to call you Aggie.
I know.
I mean, thanks for giving us life and all that stuff, but we're just going to call you what we feel like calling you.
And it was her choice. She said that she never felt comfortable being called mom. It always made her feel older. So she asked her kids to call her Agatha, and they always did. And then when she had grandkids, she thought she was too young to be a grandmother, so she had the grandkids call her Agatha, too.
Yeah, I don't know, Agatha. Maybe you're holding on to the wrong thing. All right.
I don't know.
You
she
clearly
looks
are
good
a
for
mom and a grandmother.
She looks really good for her age. She's in very good shape.
I guess it must be a Hungarian thing. I mean, I guess.
But it got us wondering, if you don't call your mom and dad,
right?
What do you call them? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. If you don't call your parents mom or dad, what do you call them? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. It always strikes me as odd when I meet somebody that doesn't call their parents mom or dad. They use like a different name, a first name or something like that.
I got to be honest with you. It just feels cold to me. If I was a kid and my parents asked me to call them by their first name, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to start looking for a different place to live now at this point. At 9 years old, that's a lot for a kid to take.
Right. And just about every culture in the world has that one thing in common. Children don't call their parents by their first names, but they use words like mom or dad or, you know, something in their language that would make sense to that. But every once in a while, you find someone that doesn't follow that protocol. And the question is, why? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Do you call your mom and dad by their first name?
I don't, but my wife does.
She calls her parents by their first name or she calls your parents by their first name?
Her parents. I mean, I always thought it was strange, but you know what? It's totally normal to them.
Yeah, that is weird. Imagine calling your mom. Hi, Monica. What?
No. What are their names?
Hello, Linda.
Their names are Joan and Mike. And I remember the first time that she introduced me to them as that. And I thought she was doing it to be funny, but by the end of the night, it was just seeming weird to me.
Right.
Right.
Joan, I'll help Mike load the dishwasher. Wait a minute. What world are we in here?
You're not going to call them mom and dad?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Do you call them mom and dad?
I don't know. I asked her why she doesn't call them, and she says that her mom actually asked her to call them by their first name long ago, and she just never questioned it. So for me, it felt kind of normal.
That feels so cold. If the mother asks you to call them by the first name, I'd be like, oh, you never loved me at all.
Well,
I'd immediately be thinking about moving out.
The crazy part is that she never questioned them. If my mom said to me, like, you know, Anna, I want you to call me Maria from now on, the first thing that would come out of my mouth would be like, why?
Right.
Why?
Say what? Right.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Do you call your parents by their first name?
I call my mom both by her first name and mom. So it's Mom Victoria. I grew up with my aunts living with us in a multifamily household. So there were like a lot of moms in that house. Uh-huh. So I guess they never knew which kid was yelling, Mom. So me and my cousins just started each calling the moms by both names. And it just stuck.
Like, yeah. Mama June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the example you go with.
Well,
these are caring her mother, her actual caring mother,
yeah.
And the mother's sisters. These are actual related people. And you went to a meth addicted person that's on reality television.
Well, we still call her Mama June.
I'm just going to go with Mama Victoria.
Mama Victoria. It's funny. Whenever we have get-togethers with my friends or with my family, it's true. Because when you hear the mommy, you never know which kid it is. They all sound the same at that age.
Right.
Imagine if you live with your cousins and you never know which kid is calling who. That's actually smart if you think about it.
In the hood, I had like five moms, too.
Did you call them Mama June? Mama Victoria?
I would call them whatever their name was.
Yeah?
Different versions of mom. Ma for one, mama for another. Mom is my mom, of course.
Home slice mom?
Yeah, that would be good, too.
Yeah.
That would probably be my buddy Dane's mom, Buffy. She would be home slice mom.
Nice.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us and let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Doug and Gabby. Doug, let's start with you. What's going on?
Gabby and I have been dating for about 3 years, and we're planning a trip to the Caribbean this January, you know, obviously pending COVID, not canceling everything. We were looking at seating arrangements on the flight, and she, for some reason, decided to book herself a first-class ticket while I am sitting back in coach. And I just don't understand why she felt it necessary to try and flex and jump up to first class when she could have just sat in the back of the coach with me.
Well, you know that I love first class, Anna's app, but you know that if I left my wife in the back of the coach, it's probably a solo vacation was what I'm guessing here.
No, I don't know if you would survive the landing. That,
right. Gabby, what's your side of this?
I mean, it's pretty black and white to me. I pay for mostly everything. I was offered a first class seat. I'm taking it. I feel like it's like a little treat to myself. And if he wants to upgrade to first class as well, he can pay for it.
Wait a minute, Doug.
It's
you're not
that hard.
You're not paying for your own flight? She's paying for your flight?
I think that's beside the point.
Oh, no, I don't think that's beside the point.
Oh,
but I thought we were taking the trip together. You know what I mean? It's like we were planning a trip together as a couple to the Caribbean. It's like going to see a movie together and then being like, cool, I'm going to go sit on the other side of the theater. Like, it doesn't really make any sense.
But right. Gabby's paying for the whole trip?
Gabby is paying for the whole trip, but at the same time, it's like if I bought tickets for a movie, I would, you know, I wouldn't want. It's. I think it's just the same scenario.
Yeah.
Regardless of
who's paying. Yeah. I don't know. So here's the thing. I mean, I think I would feel different basically if they offered you the first class upgrade and it wasn't costing you anything. But, you know, buying it, I kind of get what you're saying there, Doug. I mean, on the other hand, if I showed up at a movie theater, I bought a pair of tickets for me and whoever, and one chair is working and the other one isn't, I'm probably going to take the recliner for myself.
Oh, really? See, I wouldn't.
Not over my wife. But anybody else on the planet?
I don't know.
Like, you can pay to upgrade then. I it's not that complicated.
Just, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make this a bigger deal than it already has become, but I just, that's just how I feel. Like,
right.
I thought we were going to travel together. The Caribbean's not a short, quick flight from where we are, and I would like to spend that time with you. That's the point I was trying to make.
Well, what we do is ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Doug, that regardless of who's paying for the tickets, it was Gabby, it wasn't right that you booked yourself first class and you booked him coach. But they may see your side too, Gabby. You're paying for the trip. So if you want to give yourself that luxury, then you should be able to give yourself that luxury. And Doug, if you don't want to pay the difference, it's not fair that you're asking,
Get them back in row, peasant.
Yeah. Do you agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Sure.
Doug?
I'll happily, see which side they pull at.
Okay, fair.
Great. Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
They're going on vacation in January, you know, willing that they can actually go on vacation. But here's the thing, is that when Gabby booked for the trip, she booked herself in first class and Doug in coach. Now, keep in mind, they're dating and Gabby's paying for the whole trip. Doug says it's not fair because why is she going to sit up there? Why can't she sit in the back with him? She says it's really easy. All you got to do is pay for your upgrade.
Well, actually, I mean, life does sound pretty fair when you're doing that. She's paying for it. It just doesn't sound like it feels very good. And I understand that part coming from Doug. Emotionally, you feel like this was kind of surprised on you. Like, hey, you booked the trip, and then you selected the seats, and then I kind of found out after, and then it's on me to decide whether or not I want the upgrade. I understand why she did it, but it does feel a little bit dirty on his end.
Whose side are you on? Check the text line. You can text or call 1-800-330-9999. Maura texts, I'm on his side. I'm a person and I pay for a lot of trips. And if I'm paying for everyone, I'm going to make sure we do everything together. Sit together, go out to eat together, do everything together. So maybe it's time to dump her. Yeah, he's also getting a free trip. Let's not.
Yeah, dump her when you get back.
Yeah. Another text. I'm shocked from her action. That's just ridiculous. I'm on his side. Doesn't matter who's paying for the trip. That's not the point. You're going somewhere as a couple, and she should have done the same thing. All right, 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. She's paying for the whole trip. He should be grateful. And if he wants, he should do his pockets and pay. Because after all, he doesn't pay anything for the whole vacation.
Right. That's true. If he's got a problem with that, he could start swimming now.
Yeah. Whose side are you on? Tough one this morning. 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Truthfully, I think I've flip-flopped in my head about 7 times whose side I'm on.
Yeah, it's a little tricky.
Yeah, we're in Couples Court. Gabby and Doug are dating, and Gabby just booked them a trip in January. If willing, they can go. Now, here's the thing. When Gabby booked the trip, she booked herself in first class, and she booked Doug in coach because she doesn't love to fly, and she wants to give herself a treat.
Yeah. Listen, they don't give away first class seats. It's usually $1,000 to $1,500 more per year-round trip vacation there. So it does add up, no question about it. And when you're paying for everybody, it can feel rough, you know, when you're sliding that credit card. She is paying for the entire trip. She is the major breadwinner in the relationship. But again, they're dating, not married.
Right. And Doug says that it's not fair that she did that. She should be sitting back in coach with him. And she's like, well, you can just upgrade yourself to first class if you want to sit with me. I don't know. They both have points. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. You can always call or text. Let's check our text line. Doesn't matter who's paying for the trip. Her actions were rude, inconsiderate, and selfish. I mean, there is something to be said for that.
Could be the first trip. Could be the last trip. Could be the trip that gets canceled anyways because of COVID.
Hi, Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
So, I'm kind of on Doug's side because if you're going with somebody and you're offering to pay for them, you should be paying for you guys to have an equal trip. And I think that it makes sense to go together and be together for that trip. And that kind of would make me feel like a second-class person. You feel like you're better than sit in the front, and I have to sit in a coach seat.
Thank you for the call. Have a good morning. Well, we all know that the people that sit in coach are second-class citizens.
Raven.
We do know that, Anna.
Raven is such an airplane snob.
Oh, such the snob.
I have never flown first class in my life. And you want to know what? My pocketbook is happier for it.
Well, I'll say this. I think that, she makes a good point on the fact that, you know, you book the trip together. But the only part about it, like, you know, Gabby's obviously free to buy whatever ticket she wants, but it seems like it was a surprise to him. And that's not cool.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am on Gabby's side. If they're not married, this is going to be a fun trip anyway. If Doug over here is going to worry about where they're sitting on a plane ride, then, you know, he's going to let this spoil his vacation. Go have a good time. She works hard. She paid for this. This is her decision. If she wants that, homeboy better get it together. He better just, you know, suck it up and deal with it and let her have a good time.
Right,
or get some more money.
Yeah, not for nothing. He's getting a free trip. Like,
thank you for the call. Have a good morning.
I'll sit wherever you want me to sit. Hi, Anna, Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, Anna. I think it's totally weird that I don't care who's paying for the vacation, but if we're a couple, we travel together. We do everything together. Either she bumps them up to first class or they both ride in coach.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Doug, our audience agreed with you. Gabby, it's not fair that you did that. If this was a vacation that you're taking with each other, then you should be with each other the whole entire time.
I'm not going to go out and say that it's not fair. I'm going to tell you, Gabby.
Do people really use the word fair?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the word fair.
Fair
that I pay for everything, but okay.
Right. I mean, I think, but I think at the end of the day, there is a feeling of abandonment or betrayal, or, you know, you were taking this trip together. I'm sure you offered with all good intent, and yet, you know, stepping off on it, it's a clear reminder of you are in the dominant position, and, you know, he's kind of the afterthought. That's how it would feel anyways, to some. That's just me. But, Doug, it won't matter now because they sided with you.
Well, you know, I'm happy to feel validated and then that people did think that it was a little odd. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want my girlfriend to be happy. So, like, if that means I have to pay an upgrade to sit next to her in first class, or if she wants to come back and join me with Coach, I'd like to take the flight with her no matter what. But I'm happy that people kind of sided with me.
You got a problem, too? Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
This is Melissa.
Melissa, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Melissa.
Okay, Melissa, we have $600 on the line today. Here's how it works. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer them. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Here's the thing, Melissa. If it's a tie, it does go to Raven, so you got to beat him. You ready to do it?
I am.
Number one, Russell Crowe donated $5,000 to save a Beirut restaurant that was a favorite of Anthony Bourdain. It was wrecked in the blast earlier this month. What was the name of the travel food show that Bourdain hosted from 2005 to 2012 on the Travel Channel?
Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations.
Number two, Rebel Wilson has been showing off her massive weight loss on social media. She calls it her year of transformation. In what movie series does she play Fat Amy?
Pitch Perfect.
Number three, Eva Longoria emceed the first night of the Democratic convention last night. On what street did the Desperate Housewives live on their series?
Mysteria Lane.
Number four, Death Valley may have recorded the hottest temperature in Earth's history this past weekend, 130 degrees. In what state will you find Death Valley?
California.
One more time?
California.
And number five, Ellen fired 3 of her top producers amid the toxic work environment claims. Ellen guest starred as Sister Louise on what TV series remake that starred Deborah Messing?
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
Nice job, Melissa. Raven, come on in.
Yo.
She got all 5.
Pretty good. Woo! All right. Relax. Let's see how I do.
That means you can't even get 1 wrong.
Thank you. Yep. I realize there's math.
Okay. Number one, Russell Crowe donated $5,000 to save a Beirut restaurant that was a favorite of Anthony Bourdain. It was wrecked in the blast earlier this month. What was the name of the travel food show that Bourdain hosted from 2005 to 2012 on the Travel Channel?
No Reservations. Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations.
Yep. All right, number two.
Miss you, buddy.
Rebel Wilson has been showing off her massive weight loss on social media.
She looks great.
She calls it her year of transformation. In what movie series does she play Fat Amy?
Pitch Perfect.
I don't know if you saw it last night, but the Bard and Bardellas, they went and they reposted like a video for charity, and it was fantastic to see them all again. I'm waiting for a Pitch Perfect 4. I bet you it's coming.
I'm sure it will be.
Number three, Eva Longoria emceed the first night of the National Democratic Convention last night. On what street did the Desperate Housewives live on their series?
You've given me this question about 5 times. The answer is Wisteria Lane.
God.
I was ready for you this time.
Number 4.
I've failed that question literally 6 times.
You always
before.
Get it wrong.
Yeah, it's true. And I watched the show.
Number 4, Death Valley may have recorded the hottest temperature in Earth's history this past weekend, 130 degrees.
It's scary.
In what state will you find Death Valley?
California.
And number 5, Ellen fired 3 of her top producers amid the toxic work environment claims. Ellen guest starred as Sister Louise on what TV series remake that starred Deborah Messing?
Will and Grace, of course. Come on.
Melissa, that was great. Please call again and challenge him, but a tie gets you an Anna on Raven t-shirt.
I mean, great game. I'm sorry. Question number 3 would normally get me, but I was ready for you today.
Hi, it's Melissa, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, Melissa, that was as close as you could possibly get. Hold on the line.
She sounds a little defeated. I almost feel bad.
Oh, God. I wanted
but then
to
again,
get
I
her.
Don't, because more money goes in the pot.
Tomorrow morning, jackpot up to $700. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. Oh, that was close.
5 for 5, yo.